Matthew Hefti grew up in Wisconsin, and after the terrorist attacks of September 11th, he signed up for military service. He served two deployments each in Iraq and Afghanistan as an explosive ordnance disposal technician. Now back in Wisconsin, he released his first novel earlier this year, drawing from his experiences in the military and his return to civilian life.
Matthew's now working with the Wisconsin Innocence Project, working toward a law degree. His new novel is called A Hard and Heavy Thing. Matthew, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, your main character is a veteran from Wisconsin. At the outset of the novel, he's writing something. It's not clear. It could be a novel, a memoir, a letter to a friend, maybe even a suicide note. What's the story he's telling?
Essentially, he's telling the story of how he got to where he's at, which is a place of deep depression, and it's kind of a meditation on guilt in that he feels responsible for his best friend Nick's injuries, the loss of some of his teammates in Iraq, and he's come to this point where he is contemplating suicide.
And we hear often about the difficult transition back to civilian life, but something that struck me earlier on when your chapter titles is, let's be honest, we were broken before the war even started. So you don't really think about that so much. Veterans were people before they went into service, before they went into wartime. How did all that blur together?
I think it was important to analyze why sometimes people join the military, because it's so easy to paint people into camps and cliches. You know, there's the prevailing narrative that some people joined because they were tricked. And then there's the other prevailing narrative that others joined because they just wanted to go get the bad guys. But often the reality of our lives is far more complex than that. And all of us, while sometimes fitting into cliches, also steadfastly resist them when we look at like the totality of our lives.
We Join in a Fit of Youth is the title of book one of your book.
Yes. The first book covers that period when they're joining the military. They're teenagers, they're playing in a punk rock band, perhaps drinking too much, and you know, they're filled with this restlessness. And when the 9/11 attacks occur, it serves for them as a catalyst to join the military, thinking that perhaps they can escape their small town, or perhaps they can go live lives of meaning, as opposed to kind of like the driftless world in which they're living.
And the driftless world, you're from Western Wisconsin. Do you see your upbringing in Western Wisconsin as any way a metaphor or informing the story you're telling?
I'm not sure about as a metaphor, but it's a place that I know, and it's a place that I love, so I wanted to set the characters there. It is my first book, so you write what you know. It's a little bit easier to do it that way. But I think the driftless world that I'm talking about is more the life of any teenager, where they're not really sure what it's all about.
Your book, as you mentioned, deals a lot with guilt, both from a wartime deployment and before. Why was guilt such an important part of the story you're telling here?
I think the guilt is an important part of the story, because whereas the book is a meditation on guilt throughout, the real hero of the story at the end is the character Nick. And in that sense, the heroic act is grace, which is undeserved love by definition. And in order for grace to have its full effect, its full meaning, you have to also explore the converse side, which would be the guilt, you know, like exposing the person who's seeking grace in all their warts and all their problems, which is why Levi may come across as an unlikable character, because in order for him to receive that grace, if you will, from his friend Nick, that has to be undeserved. If he somehow earned it, then it wouldn't be worth what it's worth.
Can you talk about some of your experience during your deployments dealing with unexploded ordnance? And this is obviously a big issue in the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. What was that like? This is an incredibly high pressure situation.
Yes, explosive ordnance disposal is an incredibly stressful career field. During my first deployment, we would have between 3 to 5 IEDs a day. Some days, we would react with a quick reaction force, an infantry platoon, and go out to different forces that had come across IEDs on the side of the road or caches of weapons that they had found during raids. And every single response could lead to a completely different outcome. And you never really know what's lurking behind what you see, because there were so many booby traps and so many different tactics that the those trying to plant the bombs would try to use to stay one step ahead of you.
Talking to Matthew Hefty, his new novel is A Hard and Heavy Thing, about a person returning from war, Iraq, Afghanistan. And Matthew, you went through this transition yourself. To some extent, was writing this novel part of how you made the transition from there to here?
Interestingly, not really. I wrote the complete novel and had finished before I had left the service. So in large parts, it was me looking forward to what will transition be like for me. And I had plenty of friends who were going through the transition process who were experiencing their own difficulties. And so I tried to step into their shoes and to, in a sense, step into my own in the future to see, okay, what pitfalls do I want to avoid? What things might be a problem? And in that way, kind of prepare myself in a way for transition as opposed to dealing with transition as it was happening.
And a lot of war writing, going back to the Odyssey, the characters faced with the fear that the world they left isn't going to be the same, that their place in it is gone. Is that something you dealt with in the book?
It's certainly something that's dealt with in the book. Levi returns, and he's not exactly sure what his place is anymore. When he was in the military, he was, you know, the squared away guy. He had won the Silver Star, and it seemed like he had everything going for him. Yet all that stuff wasn't enough, because it didn't fill that hole and it didn't alleviate that guilt that he carried around. And in that sense, certainly the world that he returned to was different because, you know, he felt alienated and that people could never understand what he had been through, even though right across the street is his best friend, Nick, who had gone through far worse than he had.
You're writing about guilt and forgiveness, and now you are a law student and you're working with the Wisconsin Innocence Project. Is there a connection here?
I think most definitely. I think that working for the Wisconsin Innocence Project has been far and away the most rewarding experience of my life, in that it allows us to help the least of these. The prisoners that we're helping are people oftentimes who are the least respected members of our society. We have them, you know, locked up in cages and never to be seen again. And in helping them, I can practice the kind of grace that I'm trying to preach. Certainly all the people that apply to the Wisconsin Innocence Project are not innocent, excuse me, but by actively trying to help them, actively showing that grace in that way, you know, we're really helping ourselves.
And as a law student, I understand one of your ultimate goals is to represent veterans in particular. Why is that a priority for you?
I think because it's a community that I'm now a part of, being a veteran. And I think it's a community that has special needs, in that a large part of our civilian society doesn't understand what veterans have gone through. That's not to say that we don't have large swaths of our society that need the same help, but being a veteran and having been in those shoes, it seems a natural fit to be able to step in and display empathy and help those people who need help.
You're also part of a community of writers with this experience as a veteran. You participate in a website for veteran writers. What do you learn writing and reading sort of collaboratively online, remotely?
I think the most interesting part about that, and what keeps me drawn to it, is the free exchange of ideas, political ideas, religious ideas, ideas about war, what it means to exercise our power as Americans. And we don't always agree. In fact, sometimes we vehemently disagree. But the one thing that keeps us all together, writing together, is the fact that we all kind of fought for this freedom to express these ideas.
You mentioned the idea of the cliche of why people sign up. And I think there are a lot of things that are maybe cliches or generalizations, maybe even well-meaning, about veterans. Through your writing, through your work, are you hoping to say, well, yeah, there are things in common, but there's an individual story for everybody?
Yes. I think that in both respects, you're right in that some of these generalizations are well-meaning. And in fact, many of us do fall into one of these camps or the other. But that is usually a superficial thing on a summary level. And when you dig a little deeper, whereas you could probably put us each into a camp or a cliche, you can also differentiate each one of us, because we are all unique and we all do have different stories.
Matthew, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's Matthew Hefti. His new novel is called A Hard and Heavy Thing.